It really is a delight to be here with you again, and I can see that this community continues to grow and prosper in great faith. I want to express my condolences at the loss of Deacon John Cecilia, a member of this parish who was buried from the cathedral yesterday. I know he was a good friend of so many of you, and he surely was of me. And so we pray for his eternal rest. There's something quite interesting about the way that the gospel is presented to us this Sunday. Usually we have a nice sequence, almost end to end, of a particular gospel, and in this year it is the Gospel of Matthew, where it's just a sequence of reading through the whole gospel. But something interesting happens today. There is a skipping over of that scene that should follow after last week's story about the wicked steward who would not forgive, who would not show mercy, even though mercy was shown him. It should have been the story of the rich young man. But instead we have another parable of the kingdom, a parable about how God works with us, how God shows us mercy, how God brings us into his life. And so our attention should be on how is it that Jesus is telling us something new that perhaps we can't figure out ourselves about how God's works in the world are different than ours, how God's ways are not our ways, as we hear in the first reading. And so we have this parable of the kingdom in which a man goes out searching for those who are idle and need work. And it is a story not just about how they're going to help his bottom line. It's not a story about a business. We hear nothing at all about how much these workers pick, how much it's worth, which ones pick more than others. Instead, we hear only about the ones that he goes after, searches out, in terms of the fact that they're idle. What they share in common is not that they're just workers who could produce, but rather that they're lost. The message is clear. God is out looking for us in a search and rescue mission. And we should remember that what we have in common is not the fact that we can produce things in a competitive way, but rather that we're all lost. That should redefine how we look upon one another. Not as competitors, not as ones who are more successful or less successful in life, but that the Lord treats us all the same. He comes after each one of us. And that has tremendous implications for how we look upon one another. That we in some way realize that we are put in each other's hands to help the Lord find each other. I always like that story of a man who one day found himself in a deep pit and he didn't know how to get out. So he asked for help. He screamed out. A doctor came by and he said, "Doc, can you help me?" And the doctor wrote out a prescription and threw it down. He said, "Here, maybe this can help." And then a minister came by. "Hey there, minister, can you help me get out of this hole?" The minister wrote a prayer, threw it down. He said, "Maybe this can help." Finally, an engineer came by, and he says, "Hey, can you help me get out of here?" And he drew up a scale of plans on how to build a ladder, although he didn't have any wood down there with him, and threw that down. Finally, his friend came by, Joe. "Hey, Joe, can you help me get out of this hole?" Joe jumped in the hole. And the man said, "Well, great. That's going to do us a lot of good. Now we're both in this hole." And Joe said, "Yeah, that's true. But But I've been here before and I know how to get out. That is how we are to look upon one another. We've all been in a hole. We've all been lost. We all have gone through life in a listless way. And the Lord comes after us. And He wants to make sure that the way that we look upon each other is that we're all lost and we should help Him find each other. The second thing that we see happening in this text is that this landowner keeps going out. He doesn't give up. He goes out at dawn, 9 o'clock, noon, 3 o'clock, and then 5 o'clock at the end of the day, an hour before the end of the workday. It means that the Lord gives His grace to people at different times, and maybe gives His grace to us at different times as well. It is a reminder that it is by God's grace that our hearts are converted, not necessarily by what we do. And that is why Pope Francis tells us, don't judge one another, because God's grace is still yet to come. We have all had those experiences in which, in fact, our hearts have been humbled by our own sinfulness, and finally we realize it by God's grace that we need to turn another direction. A priest in Sioux City, Iowa, told me that this past summer he was preaching on the gospel text of the Good Samaritan. And he told the story of how he met a Good Samaritan when he was in college. He and another friend were on a motorcycle going through the Black Hills, and it was a rainy day, and they slid off the road, and they were badly injured, bleeding. A man stopped to help them. Luckily, he was an EMT. He said, "My name is Red. Don't worry about it. I know what to do." He called for help, bandaged their wounds, stayed with them. The priest said, "That was a good Samaritan." At the end of Mass, as people were coming out, a man came up to him with tears in his eyes, and all he said to him was, "Red is my dad," and he left. About a week later, the wife of this young man wrote to the priest and explained that this young man and Red had not talked for over a decade. They were feuding over something that was so petty. But the homily gave a different side to his father that this young man had not seen. And so he decided to respond and call his father. And they reconciled. Grace comes at different moments. It is by God's own will coming out at different hours of each one of our lives that's important. My mother raised 9 children, and she was asked the trick question once, "Do you love any of your children more than the others?" Her answer was swift and sure: "Only if they need it. Only if they need it." God comes at those moments in which we need, much like we said in our solemn response today. And the final thing we see in this parable about how God works is that we have the sense at the end of the gospel, as people are paid for their day's wage, that tomorrow will be another day. And the master knows where these men are, and so he will go there after them right away. So many times in life, when we have found the grace of God and turned our hearts, we forget that moment in which we were forgiven. The Holy Father, time and again, in fact, he put it in his motto, says that he was one who was shown mercy and called. And he goes back to the story of the call of St. Matthew. He goes back to that moment in which, as a 17-year-old, he found the grace of God's mercy and went to confession, and it changed his life. St. Peter was one as well after the resurrection, lost his way even after everything that Jesus did. And so he was drawn once again to fishing, and the Lord met him there again. And the Lord told the disciples when he was ascending, "Go back to Galilee. Go back to where you were first called, where you were first graced. Always go back to the moment in which that grace came to change your life." And so it must be with each one of us. If we're going to have a deep spirituality, we need always to go back to that moment in which the Lord pulled us back from the edge of our own foolishness and we experienced his grace. That will always help us in our Christian journey. It will help us to help one another, to get each other out of a hole. It will help each other as we not judge or become an obstacle to one another in God's grace. And it will help each other be in that place where God's grace can come, so that once again, he can reach out with his mercy, search us out, and let us know that we are saved.